The Dallas Stars are on the path to the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. We need you to bring the intensity to American Airlines Center for the rest of the season and help the Stars secure their playoff spot and fulfill their Stanley Cup destiny.
Jamie Benn, Stars captain, forehand, he scores!
Don't miss a single second of what is sure to be an exhilarating final stretch of the regular season for Texas hockey. Tickets available at DallasStars.com. Welcome to the Podman Rush, the official podcast of the Dallas Stars, presented by Kingsville Brewery. Let's join the rush with your hosts, Daryl Razor Ray and Mike Hyka.
All right, gang, we come to you from the final big road trip of the season, and we emanate from a luxurious studio here in, I guess, borderline San Jose, Santana Row, the boardroom, as BB has set us up again. No coffee, but whatever, I'll do this one dry and without caffeine. I'm not encaffeinated right now, but I'm going to fight through it. It's a four-game desert left coast swing that got off to a swell start yesterday. And that's where we should probably begin. The Mullet Arena experience. Mike, I don't know what it's like for you on the writing side or for the socials and trying to find the players in the labyrinth indoor-outdoor situation. It's been a long time since I had to walk through a team's dressing room in order to get to where my credential is, in order to get into the arena and walk past the house that Joey Decord built, down the hallway of the Fear the Fork, or whatever that is, and then meander my way up 14 rows to my broadcast booth.
It's an interesting building.
It is interesting. It's more than interesting. It's surreal.
While you were doing your pregame, I was reading the starting lineup in the locker room. I'm kidding. Of course, I told Radek I was going to, when we had to walk through there during their.
He would have believed you.
He would have. I go, yeah, I'm here to do the starting lineup, Radek. He goes, what? Then I had to just walk through to the hallway. It's bizarre.
And I'll tell you what, though. I enjoy mixing real time with Stars fans there. I wouldn't want to do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to do it all the time. But they have open access to you there. Like, we're all in it together.
I got tapped on the shoulder many
times.
And
there are various degrees of exuberation and intoxication going on that concourse. And it's just like it's like a big mixer.
Yeah.
It's like a convention of Stars fans.
And there were a ton.
Oh, my God.
It's a big opportunity to see one of the best teams in the NHL.
It is. And really close proximity to, you know, major broadcast superstars like myself, they get to essentially rub shoulders. It's fun. That part of it is fun, but it really gives off this is not real life vibe when you're in there. Like, it's not real NHL life. Like, you just look around from time to time and it's like the video scoreboard is, I think my screen in my living room is bigger than it. And it's tucked way up into the ceiling, which isn't way up there.
Right.
And just everything about
it
is.
Did you notice the shots on goal?
No, I couldn't find it.
Well, so
at one point it was 18-1 or something.
Yeah, like 3 minutes into the game.
Yeah, but
they never fixed that.
That's just little
details. On the penalty clock, they had like a bunch of lights.
Let's not hammer them over that minutiae.
Okay, here's the other minutiae. So they're taking a face-off right in front of me. I mean, we're right there. And I'm looking at Joe Pavelski, and he's looking around. Like, there's no clock. Like, you have to look up to the ceiling. I guess it's on each end. But, like, the players don't know what the time on the ice is. And, I mean, I don't even think they have it on the scoreboard because it's all just video screen. But he was like this. He's getting ready for a face-off. He's like.
He wasn't just checking the lights or something?
Maybe. He was trying to see if he had a good shot, see where all the photographers were.
Bad shadows.
Yeah.
Bad shadows, too, on the video end. That's a bad shadow.
I just thought that was funny. That the players can't even tell what the time in the game is.
My God. We had Ottinger on after the game, and we had to ask him before we started asking questions. like, where are you?
Yeah.
Like, and he was like, I don't know, I'm out a door and on a, like, what are we doing? And it looks like another year they trying to get it figured out. And we were spitballing the other day. Look, there's always going to be hockey in the desert. Yeah. I believe they're going to have a team there. Whether it's going to be that team or not is really up in the air. But I could see a scenario where they go down the similar path to when the North Stars left Minneapolis. Yep. And went to Dallas. And that had to happen in order for the Minnesota Wild to happen.
Correct.
Or exist. And they come back in and they go into St. Paul, and it's been a rousing success there. And I would think something, if this thing doesn't work out wherever they're buying the land or they're in an auction, it's just, man, talk about a meandering, circuitous route to that. And look, it impacts the finances of players, of the league, yep. Everything. I mean, were there 5,000 people there yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, it's a big money drain on the league.
Yeah.
And the players are upset about it, and you do what you do. But it's interesting that you mentioned the Minnesota thing, because they have no real tie here. And you can look at Glendale and say, you know, somebody owns that building, yada, yada. But they've kind of divorced themselves from that. But, like, they could pick up and leave this summer if somebody really presented a great option. Because, I mean, what are you going to do? Oh no, Arizona State's going to have to use their arena for themselves. I mean, they've put themselves in a position where it really would be easy to move this team.
Yeah. We love chaos, like hypothetical chaos. And we were like, what would happen right now? Because it's a possibility. They're one of the 32 teams in the league. What would happen if the Coyotes made it to the Stanley Cup final? Because, for broadcast, global broadcast, the league, they come in and just murder seats in your building and in your broadcast location. So what are they going to do? Sell 1,000 tickets for $100,000 each?
Maybe. How about the media? Like,
well, that's what I mean, though. Like,
but most of the press boxes are equipped to hold 100 media people now. They got 10 here, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to happen.
No.
But we do love the premise of that. I don't know what they would do. I think Glendale would
be an option. Or, like you said, maybe try LA or someplace like that. Because the league probably would frown upon trying to use Glendale.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. I like this. Jamie Benn scored again last night. And I like the fact that Bennigan is starting to ramp up once again. So we have back-to-back games in which Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin both scored goals. And when's the last time that happened?
When's
the last time that happened?
I don't know.
A long time ago.
Do you know?
I don't.
Well, that's how long ago.
You're the reporter, for crying out loud. Aren't you supposed to be all over that? Shouldn't that be in your game notes or your Hikas who's who, the owl thing or whatever? What are you doing?
I'll research that and put it in the next
Hikas. Do that. You're on that for tomorrow night. The Vets, like Seguin and Benn, have been through a lot. Those two in particular have been through a lot. They've come close and know that they have a very good chance with this team. And Tyler was injured for a bit and has come back from that. They just look like a couple of guys that are sort of ramping things up toward a postseason.
Yeah. Jamie's Jamie. And I've, you know, you have respect for him because of everything he does since they gave him the C at age 22 or whatever he was. Tyler is an interesting one because his mindset did not seem as focused as it maybe needed to be back in the day. It was more on points and things, you know, Tyler things rather than win things. And I mean, the injuries that he's been through are just grueling. An Achilles, a knee, a hip, like the last one, it was like four different things in his lower body. And then again, he goes through another one and we don't know what it is, but you know, Pete said on a couple of times, well, it's serious enough that we don't want to push him back into the lineup. And then he comes back and does that. And I really, truly believe he is as good as Matt Duchene is. He's the straw that stirs the drink on that line.
Oh my God. Yes. It's been proven.
Yeah. I mean, and again, a lot of it is.
Matt didn't have too many 3-point games when Tyler was off. No.
A lot of it is his defense I think he's actually pretty good defensively now.
Yeah.
And his drive, his energy, his motor. And it's interesting to see him. So when he had to go do that and come back and not be the speedy, you know, in transition player, he really went to the net. Like for a couple of years there, he just hung around the net. And I think he learned a lot. And now you look at him, he's a complete player and he's got a little bit of the speed back again. So I'm just really impressed with him. I mean, Jamie's Jamie. He's going to be Jamie his whole career. He's fantastic. But Tyler, to go through the ups and downs that he has and then come to this place, I'm really impressed.
Well, they both, like any player, that you have to reinvent yourself a little bit. Like Joe Pavelski was a center iceman.
Yeah.
And, you know, owned that area of the ice. Now he's a right winger for the most part. Still takes draws. You have to reinvent a little bit as you go along. You lose this, maybe. The game changes that way. Like, Jamie doesn't have to run around and fight people like he did. There's not as much hitting. You watch the way teams forecheck now. They don't take two extra steps and fill people in because then you're way out of position. So it's more about pressuring in a position. Skate said it immediately when DeBoer came in here, the system, and he was the one that was, like, checking on it. It was like, are you sure? I'm supposed to just blow the zone like this? And it's like, yes, that's how we do things. We open up ice by stretching teams out that way, and it fits his game better. Like, a stop and start game for him at this point in his career, probably not the best thing. Not the best thing for anybody. Yeah. And Tyler, Tyler too. Tyler kills penalties. They really missed him on faceoffs on the penalty kill when he was out. And look, there's a number of lines that have been this way. You have world-class player like Duchesne in the middle.
Yep.
You have maybe the team's best forechecker and the baby moose that is Mason Marchment, right? So you have those two. But then you have Tyler, and Tyler encompasses so many different things. And I think you're bang on that he does give them a little more defensive consciousness, I guess, on the line.
Possession.
And possession. And they just mesh with one another. Yeah. There's just
chemistry.
There's a magic with them. So it's fun with that. And staying with Ben, I'll announce this to our listeners right now, because I know they wait on this. Nothing is ever stuck, I don't think, other than the FCC line. But I've named the individuals on Jamie's line right now.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's all very wickedly accurate and celestially creative.
Because like
I've
words.
Tagged them. So it's really the Johnston line. You always go by the center iceman in the game of hockey. Left to right, Lodestar, Nova, and Protostar.
Sounds like Guardians of the Galaxy there.
Well, it is very galaxy driven.
Yeah.
But like, do you know what a Lodestar is?
I don't.
Lodestar.
I do not know.
Look it up.
I should. I'll be doing that while I'm trying to find time like, Penn and Sagan scored.
Am I just your
together.
Prompt?
I gave you information the other day. That was his education.
Lodestar and the captain, synonymous.
Gotcha. It's
beautiful magic. It has star in the name.
Yes.
Okay. Nova, also in the celestial family. Moved along a little bit, though. It's still developing, but moving along. Also, show on public access television.
There you go. Who doesn't watch Nova on PBS? Nova?
My dad was locked in back in the day on Nova all the time. And then you have Protostar, which is a very new star.
Okay.
And that's really what Logan Stankoven is. He's a new star. New Dallas star.
Indeed.
He was a Texas star before. Prior to that, Camo's Blazer.
Hmm.
We were thick with Camo's Blazers in the Haas last night, too.
I didn't like that. I told Stuka, I go, you know, that's for Daryl Ray.
Yes. It was just solely for me. So, again, for the late arriving crowd, Lodestar, Nova, Protostar. I want to see cartoons. I want to see it all. Speaking of cartoons, Phenomenotter is a thing, too. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
You haven't seen Phenomenotter? Phenomenotter. Wait till you see this. I, too, have graced that area of promotion and sponsorship and am part of the Phenomenotter phenomenon. And it's coming to you soon.
Just in time for the playoffs.
It's coming to you. It's coming to your phones soon.
Whoa.
Yeah. A filter, I think they call it in that world. Am I right with that one, BB? Filter? Yeah. Looked at me in that knowing gaze. Speaking of Phenomen Otter, he's trending toward phenomenal again. He certainly made... He's starting to make those saves again, right? That save. And you can see the swagger start to seep back into him. He's found the handbrake. Jake has found the handbrake, Mike. And he's allowed just two goals in back-to-back-to-back games. And I think you have to go back to like October to find that from him. It's not all him.
Nope.
The team's pretty locked in the way they play right now. But not all encompassing, not all Steelgate. There's still some rice paper to the defensive game every now and then. And there he is to just put the brakes on it. So yeah, I've enjoyed that.
I was watching the highlights on NHL Network this morning and I was like, oh, he made that. He made that save too. Because yeah, I mean, we saw a couple obvious.
He almost made the save on Clayton Keller.
Yeah.
Like he almost made that save.
Yeah.
I didn't think he did because we're so low and blocked out in that arena.
Same thing. It's a lot of the ones, angle. I'm down here.
But I watched the replay and I was just like, holy crap. Like he throws his stick out of the way and almost got it with the blocker.
Yeah.
That's when you know that
he's starting to feel.
Yeah, he's starting to find that swervy again.
And that is to me, like, I hate to just assume anything because there's some really good teams out there.
Well, also, you don't want to assume.
He's going to.
Because it will make it.
Well, yeah, I know.
And
anyway, point being is, if he is Jake, I really think they have a chance. Like, I mean, you're going to say they have a chance.
I love your questions. It's like, Jamie is Jamie. Of course Jamie is Jamie. And if he is Jake.
If he is Jake.
If you are Mike and I am Daryl.
Well, you're always Daryl. Oh,
my God.
I vacillate.
Sometimes I move to Razor Domus. And the big Razor Stottle.
Yeah. Is there a star reference to you?
What?
Like, is there one? Can we come up with one?
There could be, but I want to get into a Razor-torial.
All right, go.
No, wait, are you done? Whatever you were talking about there?
I was just, the fact that he can be a guy who has a 920 save percentage, and you mix that with the team that scores second most on the road, second most, or fourth most at home, whatever.
I don't know. Which one are you picking?
I'm just saying this is one of the best offensive teams in the league.
Yes.
And if you mix that goaltending with this team.
Yes.
I mean, I hate to get too excited. We haven't even played one playoff game yet, but you're just like, holy crap. This might be as good a chance as they've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, it was good. We had Jake on the big broadcast interview after the game last night, and he brought exactly that up. We know, and they've said it repeatedly, we know we can score.
Right.
We know we can score. What we want to do is make sure that the other side knows that they're going to have to earn everything they get to score goals against us. And that obviously starts in goal. So to your point, Razor-torial time. The subject? It just doesn't matter. What movie was that from? It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't. Was it Revenge of the Nerds?
Maybe.
Or something else. Anyway, the depth and the coaching has made it so that player slumps are not cadaverous to the overall success. Look at Roope Hintz. He's in one right now. Roope hasn't registered a point in 15 of the last 19 games. And yet it doesn't matter. It matters to Roope, I'm sure, but it doesn't matter in the overall scope of things. Duchesne, goalless in 11 until the empty net goal last night. 11 games, no goals. He was right there amongst the leaders on the Stars. Didn't matter. They kept rattling off victories. They take their turns.
Yeah.
They're able to absorb this, absorb slumps and lulls. And Cripes, Otter fought it for a while, for kind of an extended period of time. And yet, when you look at the stats, he's seventh in wins in the NHL.
Yeah.
To your point earlier, you can get a little sloppy defensively or in the pipes, and they can outscore it.
Yeah.
Injuries, kind of the same thing, right? You lose Miro Heiskanen for a while. You lose Jake Oettinger for a while. And it hasn't really mattered that much. That, to me, is the absolute earmark of a wagon and a club that you're going to have to reckon with come postseason time.
Yeah, we talk about
scoring. My razortorial is over now. Go ahead, Mike.
And then on the ticket.
Should I sign the bottom of that razortorial?
Like Dale Hansen.
This is what's grinding my gears.
You look at the points per game, and you had guys from last year who are way down. Robertson, even Pavelski, Jamie. And it does, like you said, it just doesn't matter. Mm. You're like, he's not really having the season he had last year. And you're like, yeah, but we're second in scoring. Mm-hmm. Somebody's having a good season somewhere, and it's all team.
Well, yeah, like with a wagon, Mike, what you want to do is you want to spread the load over the two axles and the four wheels themselves. You know, otherwise, you think it'd tip over, or you could get stuck in the mud, or all kinds of things. This is back in my engineering wagon train days, came up with this. And that's what they have right now. They have a very balanced load. Nothing's going to fall out, right? And they don't load the wrong wagon. They don't turn the puck over like they did at times during the season. They just, from, I think, good defense and great balance to their wagon, they turn that into offense. So through all this gunk that I was just speaking of in my stellar razortorial, they have scored four more goals in 8 of the last 11 games. With individuals, you know, not providing it. And then, what about them?
Yeah.
Well, here comes them. They score. What about the power play? Well, it scored. Power play doesn't score. Well, something else fixed. It is a wonderful situation to be in. And the best we've seen around here in a while, I think, because of that.
It just doesn't matter.
I just signed another one. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
You know what does matter? We are basking, at least I am, still basking in the glow of the light of Modano Immortalized, the bronze god out in front of American Airlines Center. Now, if we were to carve granite, not bronze, we're going to carve some granite now, what would the Dallas Stars Mount Rushmore look like? What would that look like?
Is it just players or is it everybody?
I don't give a hoot.
Really?
Well, it's a...
It's a Mount Rushmore.
It's a fantastical premise, Mike.
It is.
Play along.
Well, Mike.
Thank you.
That's my big contribution.
Captain Obvious. Did you put the entire uniform on for that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Number retired. Bronze out in front. BB's losing it over here. And Mike's on Mount Rushmore.
He's like the George. He's like
nailed it.
George Washington of Mount Rushmore. It's the first.
He's
one.
Going across the Delaware.
That's right.
Okay. We need four, right?
I would go with Sergei Zubov.
Okay. Explain yourself.
Even above Jari Lehtinen.
Explain yourself.
They won every year he was here. I don't think they missed the playoffs. Did they in the year that Doobie was here?
I don't know. You're the one making the case.
I know,
don't ask questions of me.
And then the fact that he just changed the game. To use a razor word, it was fantastical to watch him.
Not a word. Don't make words up.
Oh, sorry about that. To watch him control everything. And the more I look back at those days, I'm like, he was pretty darn important to everything.
Okay.
Everything that goes on here. And then Jure, I think, deserves it. Just
well, don't
because
say
of
it that way. And then I guess Jure Lehtinen, who was the best defensive forward of his generation.
He only won three Selkies.
The guy that made – pretty funny, Doug Foster, who was r.com back in the day and now produces for Arizona, when they came in last week, said that they should have the Modano statue, and then there should be a bunch of little Jure Lehtinen statues in behind where he's digging in the corner and covering up for Mo and Holly and then covering two guys and then setting someone up with a great pass and, you know, doing the job of 10 men and behind. You'd need like at least five statues, right?
Yes.
All doing different jobs in behind. I thought that was pretty funny.
And I mean, I think he symbolizes what that, it was either Bob Gainey symbolized it or Lettinen symbolized it.
So you want Bob Gainey?
I think so, yes. So that's my four.
So basically the Mount Rushmore was just the late 90s.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Nothing since?
No.
Wow.
Well, if you look at, well, I guess they did add Teddy Roosevelt. He was a president at the time, wasn't he?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The
now.
Actual
about the
real Mount Rush.
Oh, they added him later?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, when they added it, he was the president at the time, I believe. But the other three, I
will
believe,
will they carve one of these guys that's up for it this year in?
Maybe.
As a fifth?
Maybe. If it's Trump, he might order it.
We never get political on here, Mike.
Oh, sorry about that. I meant Bob Trump.
Okay, here. Bob Trump. All right, Madonna. Yuri Lettinen right after that.
It's not Lettinen.
No, Yuri, very foundational. And then here's where I depart from you. Those are the two for me from that era. And then, like, how do you not carve out number 14? How do you not have some Jamie Benn? He was the scoring leader. He won an Art Ross. He's second to Madonna in just about every category. He's the longest tenured captain. If they win a cup to go along with this stuff, I think when you, if you had some distance, you'd be like, yeah, that's probably worthy of some granite carving. And then the last spot, I would leave the scaffolding up.
Yeah.
I would leave it up. And I don't know whether it's going to be Jason Robertson maybe, or will it be Wyatt Johnston in the, you know, down the path? Will it be Jake Ottinger?
Could be Jake Ottinger.
Gets up in there. It's just the mass, or an otter, a phenomenon otter up in there. I'm a bit of a granite god snot. Not sure if that's an actual term or...
I've heard people call you that before.
Yeah, I think they have. Here's where I lay down my laws of the Dallas Stars Mount Rushmore. You have to be drafted by the organization. And you have to do your best things as a Dallas Star.
That makes sense.
And that's where, as much as like, Sergei Zubov is one of the most important players. Obviously, his 56 is up in the rafters in that. But didn't start here. Came in for a decade.
Yeah, he was really good. Things. Yeah, someplace else too.
But he won a cup with the Rangers.
Yeah. It's a good point on your part.
So I want, with my Mount Rushmore, they are Dallas Stars for long times. Entire careers with some. So.
And your points on Jamie are well
I think
taken.
I win.
You always win. I'm out looking at the statue the night that it got uncovered. And a
fan... Did it get uncovered or did the kabuki drop, Mike?
Whatever.
Kabuki dropped.
I don't even know what a kabuki is.
It was covering it up, the kabuki. That's fun to say. Say it.
I can't.
Say it, Mike.
Kabuki?
Oh, my God. So much fun. Anyway, what?
So a fan who had had a few... decided to hit me up for a long sports conversation. And me and Rob Schickley were out there with him. And he was talking about why Darian Hatcher's number is not retired.
And Rob Schickley, former Stars
PR man. Who actually works with the... He was there. He was a big
Tony
partner.
Faye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got into a lengthy discussion on all this. And my point was, well, he's in the Hall of Fame. And Rob's like, well, that doesn't mean they can't still retire his number. And I'm like, okay. And I said, you know, the next number that gets retired is 14. And I really, truly believe that because I do see the numbers that you talk about and everything he's done. I go to the Jason Robertson first team All-Star last year, and the only player in the entire history of the franchise was number 14. And he'd done it twice, not Mike Modano, not Sergei Zubov, Jamie Benn, first team All-Star twice. That's pretty.
You're starting to strap on your belt. You got a hammer and a chisel, right?
I'm
starting
there.
To come my way. Here's another debate, a good one, I think. I've seen this debate bubble up recently, and I think we witnessed it last night in Arizona. Your penalty kill is more important than your power play, or is it vice versa?
In my opinion, the penalty kill is more important.
Go ahead. Make your case.
It allows you to survive the hardest time. Yes, you need a goal. But
maybe
I'm
on a PK right now.
That's right.
Try to survive this.
The hardest time. If you squander a power play, the opportunity is there afterward, as Arizona showed last night. You can still go get a goal. Okay, you might even get momentum out of whatever you did on the power play. But on the PK, if you give up that goal, you're done. It's funny, they had a PK overtime a few games back. And I'm like, whoa, talk about pressure. You know, you give up that goal, it's done. You lose. And I think, you know, last night when they were doing the two-man disadvantage, as I like to call it, if they gave up the goal, there was a chance they were going to lose that game to Arizona. Arizona. While Colorado is just manufacturing.
Coming back from 4-0.
I know.
Cobb down.
So, yes. Yeah, I think that PK in that situation, one, but two, just in general, I like PKs because I think they make a statement that, hey, we're tougher than you.
Wow. You took that to a different level there.
I did. Sorry.
I was with you all the way to we're tougher than you. Our penalty kill can beat up your power play? Is that what you're saying? Most intelligent observers would concur in their deep dives. And I think you gave great reasons why. Somebody lit it up with very obvious but succinct understanding of it, which was when your penalty kill is out there and nothing happens during it, when your power play is out there and nothing happens during it, nothing is affected.
Correct.
On the scoreboard. When your penalty kill is out there and it gets scored on, a goal gets scored, it affects the score of the game. And I was like, yeah, that does make it a little more important.
I will argue against myself in that when they've had games where they've blown three power plays in a row, it just sucks the energy out of the team. So if your power play is bad, it can really affect you negatively.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think a struggling power play affects the players on it because your best players
Correct.
Are on it more than it affects the team.
Good point.
A struggling penalty kill just affects your ability to win the hockey game.
Yes.
Period. Because you're giving up goals. It's art of war again. Same thing. Invincibility lies in the defense, the possibility of victory in the attack. You want to be invincible. Mike Modano is immortal. But what you want with your club is invincibility. And that's why your penalty kill and your goaltender and your defensive play are more important. And what does it go up? 1,000-fold come playoff time?
Yes.
Probably. Speaking of that, this Central Division crown battle feels like a playoff. Feels like a long-distance playoff with one another.
Yes.
If you could have such a thing. 10 games to go. I just keep watching, and I'm like, one is toilet water, one is perfume, or eau de toilette. Both are wet. Pressure produces diamonds. It also destroys things. All these things are going on while this is going on. Stars and Avs are tied in points. The Jets lose a couple of games, and they feel like, probably in Winnipeg right now, they're feeling like, oh, there it goes. We're going to play one of these in the first round here now. We're not going to get this thing. Or do they just say, there's our dip, and away we go. Stars haven't won the division since 2016. So it's been a minute. Starting in the late 90s, would they win like 6 or 7?
Yeah, 6 out of 7.
It was just like, well, yeah, we're decorating every year up there.
And these were not bad divisions. These are teams that had some talent.
I'll say this though. Why are we not? Why is nobody talking about the President's Trophy. Everyone just keeps talking about the win the Central. Did you look at the overall standings?
Yes.
Look at this. Vancouver has 98 points. The Rangers have 98 points. Florida has 97 points. Colorado has 97 points. Carolina has 97 points. Dallas has 97 points. Boston has 97 points. Winnipeg has 93. That is insane.
But insane. It's great. Fantastic. It's what you want.
Like, my God.
You don't want Boston or Tampa Bay getting 130 points.
But why was it like this mother assumption going on that, well, yeah, that's something. It's going to be Vancouver or it'll be Boston or maybe the Rangers or something. No, it's a friggin' Peloton out ahead of the rest of the National Hockey League.
Yes.
First overall gets you the hardware. It does not get you anything beyond that on the history board of, well, they won the President's Trophy. They're probably going to win the Cup. It doesn't work out that well. Stars won it back-to-back in 98 and 99. And they were a pretty good club in 99.
Yes.
Yeah. Wire to wire. But it all, what it does, though, is it ensures that every Game 7 is played in your barn.
That's pretty nice.
Every Game 7 is played on home ice. And Pete DeBoer, last I looked, 6-0 in Game 7s.
Good thing to have in your pocket.
Nice thing to pull out for a Game 7.
Yes.
And look, it's not, home ice isn't what it once was, but I think it still is to a degree.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yes.
I think I'm stupider for even stating that. Whatever just came out of my mouth.
I'll go back to, is it 99-2000, where they got Colorado in the Western Conference Final, and I believe both Game 7s were in Dallas. And that seemed to make a difference.
I believe you're correct, Mike.
So
with you're such a historian
with
today.
Colorado sitting out there as a potential target for one of these rounds, if you could have home ice in that series, I think that'd be a good thing for you.
Yeah, solid comment out of
you. Thank you.
So if we looked at things right now, who's playing whom in the opening round? 10 games out. Stars are playing Winnipeg, right?
Yeah.
Colorado's playing, who are they playing?
It's a mix.
Are they playing Nashville or Vegas?
Nashville's moving up on...
I think they're playing Nashville.
Well, it depends on who's first.
I think Vancouver would get Vegas.
Yeah.
Today. Like this minute.
Yeah. But it's going to change a lot.
Nashville. Do you want that late season wagon?
That coach is pretty good, isn't he?
Like
you go to...
It's crazy. You know, you look... So if you looked at it right now, Vancouver and Colorado are the two tops in the West in their respective divisions. So then you'd have Dallas play Winnipeg, and you'd have Edmonton play LA in the first round. And the LA thing might change too. They're only, what are they, 2 points up on Vegas.
Right.
So, like, potentially you could have this in the opening round. You'd have Colorado. It's going to be one of the, like, pick your poison. But right now, Colorado gets one of the wild cards. Then you have Dallas, Winnipeg play each other. Then you have Vancouver, who are going to probably win the Pacific. And then you have like Edmonton and Vegas play each other in the first round. Edmonton, Vegas, Winnipeg, Dallas.
And one of those teams or two of those teams are going home.
Yes.
First round.
Crazy. What a league. You got anything else? The one thing that has fed the Stars here lately has been the ability to pile up points against a lot of tomato can. Do the kids still call them tomato cans?
I don't think they do.
No.
Boxing's not as big as it used to be.
It's not, is it?
I don't know.
It's more the octagon than the squared circle.
In the MMA, I don't think they use tomato cans.
But I mean, 7 of the last 10 games have been against non-playoff teams. And they're going to play a severely non-playoff team tomorrow in the San Jose Sharks. So and we knew this was coming. They went through that gauntlet of playing a ton of games and some good teams and out east and all that. And then you looked at this and you're like, okay, Remember, I believe I stated right here on the P Rush that they were going to make some hay. They were going to throw some hay into the barn. I'm not sure whether they were going to bale it or roll it. Whichever way, some hay was going to be made, and they have made hay.
Could you use a pitchfork?
What?
Do you use a pitchfork to get it up into the loft, or you have to?
My God, what era are you from? A pitchfork.
When we were carving out Mount Rushmore, we used pitchforks to clear the hay out of the area.
I want
to
move out of this thing. I think I'm done.
I have one thing for you.
Okay.
I'm Columbo again.
Yeah, you are.
Ryan Suter.
Yes.
Like, he's 39. And we, you know, I think everybody wants to say, there's your hole in your defense. He seems like he's done a pretty good job.
I thought he played great last night.
He did. That's yeah. There are two things I noticed about last night. One, the linesman threw everybody out of the faceoff circle.
Yeah, what was their deal last night?
I don't know. And then two, I thought Ryan Suter was really
that
good.
That was one of the great things about that small venue last night. You could see center icemen's faces. You could almost hear what they were saying to the officials when they got booted out. Radek Fox and Tyler Seguin were going ballistic.
Yes. And then Pavelski walked in for one, and I swear it was the defenseman positioning thrown out. Like he wasn't even down yet.
Yeah,
and
it was
like,
something
you're
off the circle.
And you're just like, he's like, what?
I know.
Anyway.
They had a curious, all the Stripes had a curious game last night in there, I thought. Maybe it was just the bizarro world of the venue, but.
Anyways, but Ryan Suter has played very well. Nils has played very well. So I'm very curious as to what that means going forward with the group of defensemen. We talked about it quite a bit a couple weeks ago. It doesn't seem to be as much a topic now, which I think is a good thing.
No, I actually asked Pete DeBoer about the pairings the other day. And I was like, "What? You're obviously getting what you guys as coaches intended or hope to get out of leaving Thomas Harley with Miro Heiskanen and then having that second pair." And he just laid it out. And he was like, I mean, if you look at the analytics of Harley and Miro Heiskanen, they're arguably the best pair in the National Hockey League with what they do and have been doing. You know, just all the little things, zone exits, zone entries, all the little minutiae.
Yeah.
And when you watch it, right?
But it's like Zubov and Sidor back in the day.
Yeah, very much so.
You have a skilled player who can play off a skilled player.
Very much so. And yeah, not to always bring it back to the late 90s, but if you're second pair back then, and it got, Holly would just berate them from time to time.
Conn and Creed.
Yeah, you had Matt Tkachuk and Hatcher. But, I mean, you had two high-end first-round draft picks. Yeah. In a different style game back then, but they could still move a puck.
Yeah.
Like the big key was, can you move the puck? Can you be part of the equation of getting out of your own zone quick and getting through the neutral zone, getting on attack and all those things. And I think with Esselindell and Chris Tanev, you have that in a second pair. And they always look at things much more like, okay, who are we trotting out there against one of these, a big boy deep teams in the Western Conference? Like a game like last night, beyond Clayton Keller and Schmaltz and Bukestad, what are you really concerned with? Right. They got some terrific young talent, but that is not a deep team by any stretch of the imagination. But you get into some of these other ones where they're running three pretty world-class centers down there, and you're like, okay, how do we maintain what we have on the back end here? And they seem to have that now. And then when you have Ryan, instead of playing 26 minutes like he did for the guts of his career, it's been trimmed down. He was still playing 21. He was playing with Miro. And then it got trimmed down. He started to dip under 20, doesn't see power play time, still kills penalties. But now he's in the 16, 17, 18 a night, tons of energy, doesn't have to face those upper echelon individuals and lines as much. And you can mix and match them in there. And you have that kind of experience, 1400 game experience and still the ability that he has. in your third pair on defense. Again, it's not just the forwards. Like, there's some depth back there now too. And whether it's Yanni Hakanpaa getting back healthy or if it's Nils Lundqvist, who had a couple of really good games against Arizona, then so be it. It's a good group.
Yeah. He plays every single game. He's relentless, Ryan is, and just showing up. I mean, I appreciate that. Like, I know he's gotten a lot of criticism, but like, he just, like we talk about fighting through whatever adversity you have, like we have in the season, you know, streaks or whatever. And he does. He just shows up, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. And you would excuse a guy that's 39 and has played 1,500 games if he had one of those, not that interested in the Arizona Coyotes in front of 4,000 last night. But it was the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, he was really, really good, impacting in a lot of different ways. So, yeah.
Good
point. Good Columbo out of you. All right. Let's see how it all shakes out. How's that as a finisher?
I like that.
Okay. Well, let's see where the cookie crumbles.
But all you can do, really.
Until next week. It's spring. Playoffs are just around the corner. And this team looks like their ears are perked up right now and ready to go. I want to see them play some good teams again, though. I miss it. I miss it. Like, you know, the game against Carolina at home, even the game against the Panthers until they cratered with their penalty kill. We've had too many of these games against the Wallowers. I'm done with the Wallowers. They don't even want to win right now, these teams. They want to lose their way to the lottery. And speaking of the lottery, go buy tickets because it's big. It's over $1 billion on one of them right now. And the odds suggest that you're probably going to win it. You won the lottery by being able to do this with me, Mike Ica. That's the Podman Rush again. We'll emanate, I guess, from home next week.
Well, we do have a weird one.
I don't even know the schedule going forward. I just know this road trip. We have the Sharkies tomorrow. Hopefully not as dramatic as the last time they were in the old tank. And then we go to Vancouver, spend a little time there, hopefully get their act together.
You wanted a good game. That's pretty good game.
But they need to play better and beat the Vancouver Canucks again. What the hell's gone on with that? Used to clock them. And then we finish up in one of my favorite arenas in the league, Seattle. I like that rink.
I agree.
They put out a lot of food between periods, and I appreciate that.
Sushi.
I had nothing but a half a cup of water, and I conducted this pee rush beautifully, I thought, this morning.
Masterfully.
We're all done. Tom, fix your skylight. Talk to you next week.
You've been on the Podman Rush with Razor Ray and Mike Ica, presented by Kingsville Brewery, an official production of the Dallas Stars. To stay up to date on all things Texas hockey, visit DallasStars.com or download the official Dallas Stars app today. Everything is bigger and better in Texas, including Dallas Stars Victory Club memberships presented by Lexus. Victory Club honors generations of the most devoted Stars fans with bigger savings, better perks, and unbeatable flexibility. Become a part of history and join the loudest, greatest, and most dynamic Dallas fans by becoming a Victory Club member today. Visit DallasStars.com for more info.